Well, Parliament has risen for another fortnight, and it's been a messy few weeks for the government. Tax has been front and centre, and in the lead-up to the budget, that's surely only going to continue. But national security is also in the spotlight, following a leak of Defence Department documents. Michelle Grattan's in our Parliament House studio and joining us. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Tony Abbott says he is not responsible for the leak. The government says the leak was wrong and they're investigating. But it seemed to me, Michelle, as if there was a shift. I thought a significant one, I don't know what you'll say, in the mood in the Liberal Party around Tony Abbott and his decision to stay on the back bench.
Yes, I think that's right. I think people were a bit shocked this week that he was coming out so strongly, first, of course, in the party room over tax, taking a very hard line, essentially saying the government should not go down the road of changes but should revisit spending to try to get the money for tax cuts. Well, that's pretty crazy brave before an election. But then this story came in The Australian when there was a leak of a draft of the white paper, and Tony Abbott was quoted commenting on that and saying he was flabbergasted that the decision on the submarines had been to delay them. Now, that was rejected by Defence very strongly, including in evidence yesterday before a Senate committee. Dennis Richardson, the Secretary of the Department, said the advice had always been that the submarines wouldn't meet the Abbott preferred timetable. But as you say, people are seeing things a bit differently. They're seeing Tony Abbott's role as being very much a wrecking role, and they're worried about this element of revenge politics, especially when the government on various other fronts is looking to be under pressure.
Well, I particularly noticed Erica Betts, who, of course, has been, very much a supporter of Mr. Abbott and very much a supporter of him requiring or playing the possibility of a constructive role in this government, saying it was not honourable to be talking about, generally, to be talking about national security in this way. And I thought, wow, that's a strong word, you know, honourable, and I felt that that was aimed straight at the value system of the ex-Prime Minister.
I do think that a number of people who are anything but Turnbull supporters do feel that Tony Abbott has gone too far, that he has damaged himself, especially over the security comments, but also more generally in taking a very high profile on a number of issues in the past little while.
And it's just that there are all sorts of conventions around national security, you know, that just, it really doesn't become a party political issue to that extent. That's, to me, there was a sort of a breaking of a convention there.
Yes, and also his comments just seemed to be wrong, inaccurate, according to the experts who were dealing with the white paper. So I think on double grounds, he didn't do himself any good. We have mentioned before the Nikki Sava book that's coming out about the Abbott government
next
week.
And Fran's going to speak to Nikki on Monday, actually.
And people do see some of this Abbott activity in that context, that he's getting out ahead here because he knows that book will be very critical. Now, I don't know whether that's right, whether that's his motive, but whatever the motive, it's not good for the government, and I believe it's not good for Tony Abbott.
What does the Liberal Party do, though, Michelle? What can they do with Tony Abbott?
There's been talk of some people who are close to him trying to persuade him to deter him from this course, but really I don't know that there's anything that can be done. I think he is just very eaten up by what's happened to him, and his actions are reflecting that.
Well, I thought the images of him this week, he looked a very unhappy man. To be honest, I was quite shocked at just the look on his face. You've written today, Michelle, that Chris Bowen, the shadow treasurer, is outshining Malcolm Turnbull on the tax debate and his treasurer. How difficult is this issue for the PM? Can he turn it around?
It's quite difficult, and I do think in the debate so far that Chris Bowen is doing a good deal better than Scott Morrison. Scott Morrison had another poor day yesterday because he seized on the shrapnel report, which analysed negative gearing, but not the exact model that Labor has talked about. Now, the report has, in fact, received a lot of criticism, both its general nature on a technical level, but also the fact that it was different from the Labor model, and the organisation wouldn't say who'd commissioned it. So I think by identifying himself too much with that report, again, Scott Morrison found himself in some trouble. But more fundamentally, of course, we still don't have a tax package from the government, and it seems to be ever shrinking. The Expenditure Review Committee is going to look at tax next week, on Tuesday, I think, and that will presumably get things to the sharp end of preparing this package. But so far, the government just doesn't seem to be able to do very well at all in the tax debate. It is making some points against the opposition's policy, but I think that Chris Bowen has quite effectively, in many cases, had press releases out to rebut arguments that have been put. He's been quite, as Malcolm Turnbull might say, agile in this debate.
Very good. But you did have another extra approach in your column, which I found quite interesting, that in effect, and actually I think it came from people at the Grattan Institute, saying, look, there's a lot coming out that is designed to scare people. It's not actually, that's got to be seen for what it is. And you said the media had to take this on board as well and be aware of what it might be doing in its reporting.
Well, there was an article from the Grattan Institute yesterday which took apart the paper from Shrapnel, but also just made this point that you get a number of these reports from various organisations, modelling organisations or whatever, that have been asked by those with an interest in a cause, who are trying to promote something, to model material, and often it comes out, of course, with the result that they want, because it all depends what assumptions you feed into these examinations.
We had a very good report on this from Cheryl Bagwell earlier today, actually.
And the point they were making is that this gets a lot of amplification in the media, these so-called independent reports. They're taken up by the politicians. And I think the media does have a responsibility not to not report these things, but to put them in context and not overblow them, because often they are just self-interested pieces of work that, as I say, depend on the assumptions and don't mean a lot.
Mm. And look, just quickly, I noticed that the federal government's chance to use the Building and Construction Commission bill, the ABCC, as a trigger for a double dissolution election appears to have faded. It's not on the list for the next sitting week.
It's not on the list for the last sitting week. This is quite interesting. One reason why it's not on the list is that the government has agreed with the Greens that there'll be some extra time to debate the Senate voting changes, because Labor's filibustering and it'll take quite a while to get them through. They will be got through, the numbers are there with the Greens. But part of this deal is that the ABCC bill is not there. Now, this, if it's not there, the government could still argue, if it wants to make it a DD trigger bill, that there's a failure to pass because there has been delay, and also we know that the crossbenchers, most of them are against it. But I do think it weakens that failure to pass case. But if the government does want a double dissolution, there's already industrial legislation that it can use. So I don't think we can jump to the conclusion that this means they're not going to have a DD. And indeed, some people around government say that the feeling is that they are likely to do that. Now, I don't know whether that'll end up being correct or not. Malcolm Turnbull says he wants to go full term and so on. But if they've got this legislation through on voting, must be a big temptation to clean out the crossbenches on the Senate, in the Senate, as quickly as possible. So I think the DD is very much still a live option, but still up in the air. We just don't know how that's going to work out.
It is not sorted. Thank you very much indeed, Michelle.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Michelle Grattan, Chief Political Correspondent with The Conversation and Professorial Fellow at Canberra University. And it is 13 minutes to 8.